How's everybody doing? Y'all got enough room? There's a little extra room in the balcony if anybody needs a little more elbow room. This is one of those days we worry about, you know, having enough seats for everybody. Although since COVID, that's a little less of a concern. We have a number of people who participate and join us online now, and we're grateful for that. Welcome to everybody once again who's joining us online. And, you know, worshiping online, it makes some sense, although I hope the power and the passion of what we just experienced here in the sanctuary miraculously came through the internet and onto one screen. But, you know, driving down here, parking, that can be a hassle. And let's face it, seats at home, in your living room, in your family room, in your bedroom, might be a little more comfortable than they are right here. Right? If you want the comfortable seats in this room, you have to come up and join the choir. That's where the comfy seats are. And they would welcome that. I mean, look how comfortable and relaxed they are because of those comfortable seats. Have you ever wondered why church seats aren't exactly super comfortable? Like, why don't we have those recliner seats that you sometimes find in those stadium movie theaters? We could do that, right? Well, there are good reasons, actually. I know what happens to me when I'm in a recliner, and we don't want that to happen to you during the worship service. You might miss something important. That's one reason. The second reason is churches are very health-conscious places. We want to make sure you're not sitting too long, that eventually you'll feel the need to stand up and get out of that seat and move around maybe a little bit. You know, we hear these days there are warnings against sitting too much. Sitting, it said, is the new smoking. Some health experts say that sitting for more than 6 hours a day is hazardous to your health, which means after the service of driving here and sitting here and driving home, we'll all have about 4 hours left until our life is at risk. So just be aware. Good thing we've already had you standing up and down like 6 times already, and you were not even halfway through the service. You're welcome. Rising up, standing up, getting our step count is a good, my step count is currently at 4,200 steps. It's good. It's important for our health. But it's also true that we can become addicted to motion, addicted to doing, to activity. How often do we take the time to just sit and to be present, to just sit and be still? Even when we are sitting, we're not exactly still and calm and at peace. Next time you're in a crowded place, next time you're in a crowded place where people are sitting and waiting for something, waiting for the plane, the train, the bus, for the show or the game to start, look around. How many people are just sitting? Sitting, not sitting and reading, not sitting and texting or talking or scrolling, just sitting, content. That person who's just sitting, content just to sit and be, that person might be onto something. That person might be a quiet spiritual giant. That person might be an angel in disguise. In our world, just sitting, being still, can be a powerful, joyful act of resistance against our addiction to motion and busyness and productivity. Intentional sitting and stillness, being peace, can turn you into an angel. And that leads us to our scripture reading today. There is a detail in our reading, maybe you noticed it, that is different in Matthew's account of the gospel, which is what we just heard, that differs from every other account of the resurrection. A detail that we need to explore today. And that detail is coming up. First, let's look at the common contours of the Easter story that we find across all the Gospels, things that you might know very well. It was early on Sunday, the first day of the week, the Sabbath, one day after the Sabbath, 2 days after Friday, the day on which Jesus was crucified as an enemy of the state. Then some women come to the tomb to prepare his body, to anoint his body, to pay their respects, only to find that the stone has been rolled away from the tomb. And to their great surprise, an angel appears to the women and tells the women that Jesus has been raised and to go to Galilee where they will see him and to share the good news with the other male disciples who were too afraid to come to the tomb themselves. Then Jesus appears himself and reiterates the angel's message. That's basically how the story goes in each of the four Gospels. In Matthew's Gospel, it says the angel not only rolled the stone away, but sat on the stone. Only Matthew highlights the angel sitting on the stone. And it's probably a burning question in your mind right now, I'm sure. Why? Why would Matthew want to bring out that detail? What is so important about the angel sitting on this stone? Why do we need to know this? Well, here's my theory. The angel sits on the stone, not simply because the angel needs a place to rest. The angel sits on the stone to put the stone in its place. Not because the angel needed a place to rest, but because he wanted to put the stone in its place. We might know this from our own experience. If you want to flex power and authority over someone, you might sit in their desk chair. You might put your feet up on the desk. You might lean against their shiny new wax car as if to say, meh, not impressed, no big deal. What else you got? And so the angel comes and leans and sits on that stone as if to say, not impressed, not intimidated. It's just death. Sitting is a posture of calm, a posture of ease and rest and relaxation, which you're all demonstrating so well right now. Thank you for being sermon illustrations. It's why you will never hear, hey, let's put up our feet and go into battle. We never hear anybody say, hey, let's sit and relax while we put out this raging fire in the building. No, you only sit down when the job is done and the battle is won. People in my profession, we often find ourselves in cemeteries. But rarely, and probably never, will you find us lounging around, sitting on gravestones. That might be considered disrespectful, but maybe we should. Maybe we should have regular sit-ins in cemeteries to say that death isn't all that powerful. The angel proved there are times to stand up when you want to deliver a message, and there are times when we need to sit down to make a statement. This story might be the very first sit-in. You remember sit-ins? Sit-ins from the civil rights movement and well beyond, up to present day. Brave people sitting somewhere to say no more. We're done. We're not intimidated by this form, whatever it happens to be, this form of oppression. They were not only sitting on stools at the counter or on the steps or on the floor or on the street. Those angels were actually sitting on the stone of segregation or on the stone of racism or on the stone of unchecked capitalism or on the stone of militarism. Putting those stones in their place, showing how every form of dehumanization is beneath us. Sit-ins continue today. In 2016, members of the U.S. House of Representatives, led by John Lewis, Congressman, the late Congressman John Lewis, held a sit-in on the House floor over gun safety legislation, or lack thereof. It was against the rules. It was not embraced by everyone in Congress, and those sitting in had to navigate a number of challenges to it, but no one was expelled. No one was censured. Imagine that. The angel sat on the stone to put the stone in its place. And by sitting on the stone, the angel took what appeared to be a period, the end of the story, and turned it into a comma. That's what God does. This is a theme all over the Bible. This did not just begin with the resurrection. Maybe you remember that famous psalm, the one that goes, "Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Isn't that astounding? Just when we think all is lost, God takes us out to dinner. This psalm gives the sit-in formula for surviving and overcoming life's struggles. Winston Churchill once said, "When you're going through hell, keep going." That's not what this psalm says. This psalm says something entirely different. It says, when you're going through hell, stop, pull up a chair, and sit at the table of the Lord. Take some time out to feast at the table. Just when we think all is lost, just when we wonder if there's any point to life, just when our enemies are surrounding us and overpowering us, just when we feel abandoned and have abandoned all hope, God says, "Why don't you take a seat? Put your feet up. Take a load off. Come, I've cooked for you. Set the table before you. Sit, eat, gain strength. Look around at all of these enemies, these obstacles, these challenges, these threats to your life. Let them see your brimming cup overflowing with the wine of gladness. Let them watch you sit and eat at the table and be fed. Let them see that you are made strong and whole when you are sitting and relaxing and feasting at my table." Whatever threats or worries are coming at you today, whatever tomb you might be facing, whatever stone or boulder is in your way, may you see an agent of grace sitting on it, reminding you that that stone is not a period, it is only a comma. People have not sat in churches on this day for the past 2,000 years ago to say the stock market has risen, it has risen indeed, or the unemployment rate has risen, it has risen indeed, or the gross domestic product has risen, it has risen indeed. No! The one hope that has united people across every continent and culture for two millennia is that Christ has risen. Christ has risen indeed. And because Christ is risen, we can take a seat. Because Christ is risen, we can relax. Because Christ is risen, we can rest. Because Christ is risen, we can take a seat and be still and just breathe. As the gospel song says, because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. Because I know he holds the future and life is worth the living just because she lives. Here in these not so comfortable seats, we sit and remember there is no mistake God can't forgive. There is no relationship God cannot heal. There is no person God cannot change. There is no heart God can't humble. There is no stone God cannot move. Amen.
Amen.
Ashe. Namaste.
Thank you.